Now, it's CSL, Charlotte Sports Live.
Right now on Charlotte Sports Live, 68 teams with a shot tonight to win a national championship in college basketball. Will it be someone from the Carolinas? Let the madness begin, folks.
Oh, yeah. And for a handful of teams, the road to the Final Four will start right here in Charlotte. I'll tell you what teams are coming to the Spectrum Center this week.
Welcome into a big night here on Charlotte Sports Live. He's Mike Lissette. I'm Gabe McDonald. Thanks for joining us on Selection Sunday. And Mike, you can make the argument that this is the best time of the year, and I know it is for you as a bona fide hoops fan.
I love it. There's so much excitement. There's so much unknown, and you just love the way the teams play with emotion. The fact that they don't always make the right decisions is definitely what adds to the fun. We're going to go through every bracket tonight and give you our Final Four predictions, plus NASCAR hitting the concrete in Bristol in a weird one. But first, we just talked about it. Which Carolina teams are going dancing? Let's show you. Six teams in total from the Carolinas are going to play for a championship. And they are North Carolina, Duke, NC State, Clemson, South Carolina, and the Chuck, Charleston. The highest seed is North Carolina, who are the number one in the West region. The lowest is Charleston, a 13 seed also in the West region.
And eight teams in the tournament are coming here to the Queen City to play first and second round games at the Spectrum Center. First round games are Thursday. The second round games are on Saturday. In the West region, top seed North Carolina, they'll play the winner of Howard versus Wagner. The Tar Heels bracket also includes eight seed Mississippi State and nine seed Michigan State. The four teams coming from the Midwest region are Tennessee, St. Peter's, Texas, and the winner of Virginia versus Colorado State. All right, so now it's that time to go through each bracket. Mike, are you ready?
No. I mean, I watch a lot of basketball, but I'll say this. I mean, there's no way we can watch every single game. So it's like back in college at Syracuse, the night before an exam, cramming, trying to study every little last detail just to make sure you can pass that midterm. So all I can say is we're doing our best here.
And now we're about to try to give you the best advice to help you fill out our bracket. And we're going to start with the West bracket, the North Carolina Tar Heels coming to Charlotte as the one seed. The Heels finished the season 27-7 and won the ACC regular season title. They lost the ACC tournament title last night to NC State. Clemson Tigers are also in this bracket as the 6th seed. They take on 11th seed New Mexico. And Charleston, like you mentioned, the 13th seed, they'll open up against the 4th seed Alabama. All right, looking at the rest of the bracket, 25-8 Arizona, they are the 2 seed. The 2021 NCAA champs from Baylor, they're the 3 seed. Like you mentioned, Alabama is the 4th seed. So Mike, I know you said you're cramming for this one, but how tough will this region be for UNC to get through? Because you got a lot of good squads right here.
I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think that North Carolina is going to go the distance this year. I know it was a very impressive run they made, considering they didn't make the tournament at all last year. But, I mean, we saw them play yesterday in the AC tournament game. A lot of things were alarming. You're a veteran team. You got to seize the moment. They did not. And I think the scary part, it wasn't for a lack of effort. Their shooters went cold, and you know more better than anybody that in the NCAA tournament, it's all about having the hot hand at the right time, and when that goes cold and you can't put the ball in the basket, you are doomed.
No, absolutely, and I think another thing, too, they didn't really have an answer for DJ Burns. That guy, he is a man down there in the paint, and obviously you got to have those guys that can shoot. RJ Davis didn't really have his best game, and Armando Bacot as well, but I think when you look at this bracket, obviously one team I'm looking at, Arizona. Oh. I know they're kind of, you know, obviously didn't win the Pac-12, but still a pretty strong team as well.
But they always struggle in the NCAA tournament. You're going with them? I'll tell you who I'm going with. Yeah. I'm going with that team right there.
Okay.
3-seed Baylor.
They got experience.
Terrific perimeter shooting team. They've won before in 2021. Yeah. They're also a fantastic defensive team. So you know in this situation right there, you're going to have to rely on your shooting and defense. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I've been reading today, a lot of people think Michigan State's going to shock
a lot of
people.
Those games are always a toss-up.
I don't understand that. Michigan State was struggling for most of this season. Yeah. They couldn't buy a basket, and everyone's talking about when's Tom Izzo going to retire. Yeah. I don't see there's any way they're going to make the most. I think North Carolina will get through at least the first two rounds with no problem.
But we all know, we all love Cinderellas. Those guys from Charleston, Pat Kelsey used to be the coach of Wofford, got those guys
you
playing.
Think
really
they can
good.
Do it? Think
I think they can do it.
Right
I think they can at least pull it off, maybe get to the Sweet 16. Obviously, got Grand Canyon and St. Mary's right there. But Charleston, Pat Kelsey from Wofford, doing a really great job with those guys. I think they could shock some people. Those 13-4 matchups are always pretty interesting.
All right, 1-4. Let's move on to the next one, the South region. And that is where we find two more Carolina teams. The 4 seed is the Blue Devils, who had a great regular season, 24-8, but their loss in the ACC tournament quarterfinals left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, including mine. Well, more on that in a second. They got 13 seed Vermont winners of the American East Conference. And check it out, Gabe. The team that beat Duke a few days ago, also in the South Region ACC tournament champions, NC State. They are an 11 seed. They will face 6 seed Texas Tech. And checking out the rest of the South bracket, it is Houston. At the top is the 1 seed. Marquette is the 2. John Calipari, I can't escape this man if I tried in Kentucky. They're the 3 seed. Gabe, this bracket will present significant challenges for Duke if they are going to make a Final Four run, would you?
Yeah.
Again, I don't mean to be that guy, but I don't think they're going to do it.
No, absolutely. I mean, this is a stacked bracket. I mean, I obviously love the double-digit seeds. I'm looking at James Madison, a team from the Sun Belt, went and won that tournament. That's a team that could possibly make a Sweet 16 run. And, of course, Houston, we know they're a scrappy bunch. Didn't win the Big 12 tournament, but I think that's a team that's going to take that and use it as fuel and make a pretty strong run. But you got to look over here as well. Marquette looking good as a 2 seed. And you can never count out Coach Cal this time of year.
Dude, come on now. Do you really? This guy, everyone's talking about possible buyout of Kentucky. Now, all of a sudden, it's like Kentucky's going to make a run. Do you honestly think that we're going to see them deep in the tournament?
I think we could see them at least possibly make it to the Elite Eight because, I mean, you got a win here. You can probably get it done against Texas Tech. Even though I like NC State in that matchup, I still think these are guys you can't count out in March. We saw them late towards the year make a run, really scrappy on defense as well, and that's obviously a big recipe that you need this time of year.
Right there.
Yeah.
That's my pick to win it all, Houston.
They look good.
I think they're going to do it. I think, obviously, they lost
the conference
title game.
They've come close every single year,
it seems like. They've come close every single game, but I think they have the best defense in the country.
Yeah.
They've got terrific shooters. I think they're going to have an edge coming off that ugly loss in the conference tournament championship game. I think they're going to bounce back. I don't get the deal where everyone's talking about Kentucky suddenly making noise.
But one thing to watch out for with Houston, they did have Drake at their watch party tonight. We know the Drake curse. We know the Drake curse is alive and well.
Now, the question is, does that make Kentucky mad? Because Drake was all UK all the time a couple years ago.
So those might be two teams that we might not see make a run. Of course, we'll see what happens in March. But our Carolina team, they're in the Midwest region. South Carolina, a 6 seed, and they will play the 11 seed Oregon Ducks. The Gamecocks coming off a year in which they finished 26-7 and third in the SEC. They'll play their opening game up in Pittsburgh. This is the first tournament appearance for the Gamecocks since 2017 when they made it to the Final Four. And here's the rest of the region. Zach Edey and Purdue, they're the 1 seed. Tennessee, the 2 seed. They'll face St. Peter's, the Peacocks, right here in Charlotte. Creighton, they're the 3 seed. And the Kansas Jayhawks are the 4 seed. So another stacked bracket is here for this one. Purdue is a team that typically we see them kind of, you know, this time of year. I mean, every year they've been well. They can't really make that deep run. I think this is another
Why don't you think that this year is going to be any different for them?
I just think history repeats itself this time of year for some teams. And I think this is a team that should have been able to get over the hump in recent years, just can't seem to do it. It'd be nice for Zach Edey to be able to do it and go out on top. But I just think this time of year they just kind of
throw the ball away a lot. I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing that really is disturbing to me when I watch them. They get a little razzled. But the other thing is, when Edey gets in foul trouble and he's out of the game, that becomes a different team.
Completely changes everything.
So in the tournament, it's all about creating mismatches. If they go against a smart team that exploits that, gets them in foul trouble, they're in trouble.
You got the Peacocks coming to the Queen City. You think they have the same magic from a couple years ago?
It'd be cool to see. Yeah. I mean, that matchup with Tennessee, I think this is the team that I think makes it from this bracket to the Final Four. They have never made it to the Final Four. They've had a couple of close calls.
Yeah.
I really, really think that this could be the year they finally do it. I think they've got a lot of pieces. I think the timing is right. I think they could actually make some noise this year.
And the Gamecocks, too. I mean, we saw them make that improbable run.
I don't think they're going to do it.
I think Lamont Paris has done a great job.
I was disgusted by how they played in the SEC.
Now, they did go outside against Auburn. They did. But I think maybe that's another team that they use that tough loss as fuel, and maybe they kind of recapture that same magic. But another team that I want to look out for,
I know you're saying,
Will Wade and these McNeese Cowboys.
I knew you were going to
He said they lost 23 games last year, and he called his own shot. They are 30-3, one of the hottest teams in the country. I would not want to play those guys.
Joe Dumars, you right there.
Yeah, yes, sir.
All right, last but certainly not least, the East region, which features number one overall seed UConn. This is a very interesting bracket. Huskies tip off against Stetson. Round one, they're the 16th seed. Here's the interesting thing about this region. Three of last season's Final Four teams are in it. Three of last season's Final Four teams are in it. 8 seed FAU, 5 seed San Diego State. Now this region, chock full of conference tournament champions as well. Yes, UConn, Auburn, Illinois, Iowa State, just to mention the big ones, they all won conference tournaments. So, I mean, is there any way that we could predict successfully here, who comes out of this region?
I think this is probably one of the ones where it's maybe the biggest toss-up when you look at all the strong teams coming in. Of course, UConn coming in as the number one overall seed. You would think the committee would maybe make things easier for them, but it's already tough. Obviously, got an Auburn team who looks very strong right now after winning the SEC. Even a team like, obviously, Iowa State, I mean, coming off a big win as well. So I think these are, you know, a lot of guys that are really good in this bracket. But UConn, they've looked pretty dominant all year. I think they find a way to maybe flip that switch and turn
Here's
it
Here's a trivia question for you. How many teams, I'm not saying like how many different teams, but how many single teams have been repeat champions here?
We've only had recently, we haven't had.
Florida
in 06 and 07.
15 in all. So this is something that when you talk about the history of life in college basketball, not something that happens very often. However, I do have UConn coming out of this and going all the way to the Final Four. I think obviously they're a team that has been 1-2 with Houston, probably the best team in the
country. Most dominant teams this year. So.
They've been on a mission this year. Obviously, everyone talks about, you know, the pressure of repeating and how hard it's going to be. I think they've been playing with that chip on their shoulder all year long. I just don't think it's going to be good enough to beat Houston.
We'll see. I mean, they've looked good all year. That might be the matchup we see there in Phoenix to cap off the season. We'll move into our local team here. The Charlotte 49ers recently capped off a solid season under first-year head coach Aaron Fearn. The Niners finished the year 19-12 after falling to Temple in the AAC quarterfinals. Despite an 8-game win streak during conference play, which included wins over FAU and UAB, Charlotte will actually miss out on the NIT.
That's great.
One Carolina squad did make it, though. App State, they will play in the NIT for just the second time in program history. The Mountaineers have a program record 27 wins this season and won the Sun Belt regular season title. App will face Wake Forest in the opening round coming up later. And we haven't forgotten about the ladies, South Carolina, the top overall seed in the women's NCAA tournament. We'll show you the other Carolina teams going dancing with the Gamecocks.
And we have the dirt on the battle in Bristol today. The Food City 500 goes back to concrete racing, and that meant some tire trouble. We're going to find out who took the checkered flag next. Back on Charlotte Sports Live. Today, NASCAR was in Bristol for the Food City 500. Kind of ironic for a race on St. Patrick's Day. There was not much luck to be found in this one. Teams just couldn't catch a break when it came to their tires or when they made the switch to a concrete track. This is going to be talked about this week. Lap 31, Tyler Reddick had some problems that caused him to spin out. He did return and would finish 30th. Busch, meanwhile, would have all sorts of problems regarding his wheels. Lost one lap, 124, which made him go backwards.
Don't want to see that.
And literally. Then about 60 laps later, another one of his tires goes astray. Kyle would finish 25th. 75 laps to go at last. Good fortune for someone. It's Denny Hamlin who passed his teammate Ty Gibbs for the lead. Hamlin would hold on for the victory. It's his second straight at Bristol.
Just that's what I grew up doing here in the short tracks of the whole Mid-Atlantic. So South Boston, Martinsville, all those tracks. Just this is what I grew up doing. So once it became a tire management race, I really liked our chances, but obviously the veteran in Martin, he knew how to do it as well, and so we just had a great car, great team. The pit crew just did a phenomenal job all day.
That they did, battling through the conditions. Joe Gibbs, as a team, did very good as well, with four guys finishing in the top 10. Gabe, there is a saying, nothing in life is guaranteed, but today we have proof that's not true.
Yeah, we did need Selection Sunday tonight to find out that South Carolina women's basketball will be the number one overall seed in the tournament. When you go undefeated in the regular season, that's kind of, you know, the spot that you get there. It's the fourth straight year that they've gone in as number one, and that, of course, means their drive for a title begins at home. They'll take on the winner of the play-in game, also taking place in Columbia between Presbyterian and Sacred Heart. Dates and times of those games have yet to be announced. Should the Gamecocks win, they play a second game at home before advancing up through the Albany Regional. In addition to the Gamecocks and Blue Hose, other Carolina teams making it to the women's tournament include UNC. They're an 8 seed opening up against Michigan. Out in Portland Region 3, Duke is a 7 seed. They'll take on the Spiders of Richmond in the first round. And in Portland Region 4, NC State is a 3 seed. They've got a date in the first round with good old Chattanooga.
Well, the Panthers could sure use another wide receiver, and it could be this guy, the one that was just released by the Cowboys. According to the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Michael Gallup is scheduled to meet with the Panthers this week, as is former Charger wideout Mike Williams. Gallup had 34 catches for 418 yards and 2 touchdowns last season for the Cowboys, while Williams had 249 yards and a touchdown in just 3 games due to an ACL injury. Well, straight ahead, Charlotte FC is going home from a 3-game road trip that ended on a sour note. Here was bugging new head coach Dean Smith next.
And former Panther Greg Olsen not only made history this past week during the launch of mobile sports betting, but he put the pressure on 2311's Bubba Wallace as well. We got more Charlotte Sports Live in just 2 minutes. Back here on CSL, Crown Legacy FC kicking off the 2024 campaign out in Matthews as they welcomed in Carolina Core from High Point. The visitors looking to strike early in the 11th minute. Papa Ndoye on the free kick, but Shaturo Ndunze is there for the save. We would say scoreless, but not for long. Early in the 21st minute, Yao Pedro with the cross to Nick Scardina. The shot off the shin of the keeper, and it finds the back of the net. Scardina with the first goal of the 2024 campaign. Crown Legacy with a 1-0 lead at the half. However, Carolina Core would respond with a goal in stoppage time to send the game to PKs. They would end up coming out on top after the shootout. Crown Legacy falls at home, but they're still able to gain a point after the match this afternoon.
All right, on to their big league counterpart. Charlotte FC certainly happy to put their first road trip of the season behind them. The Crown went winless in all three of their games, with a second straight loss coming up against Nashville last night by the count of 2-1. After starting the year off with a win, new head coach Dean Smith says his team is kind of headed in the wrong direction. He's particularly concerned with their defense.
Disappointed because we conceded really two poor goals. We never made contact with them in our 6-yard box, and they've had two free headers to score. So disappointing from that, but there's things that led up to the goal, what I'm really disappointed with as well.
Yeah, the good news now is that Charlotte FC has a chance to get back on track by coming home. They'll play two in a row at BOA, with the first game coming up Saturday against Columbus. Panthers legend Greg Olsen helped welcome sports betting to the state of North Carolina on Monday, but it had nothing to do with the Panthers or the NFL.
Yeah, Olsen was at the NASCAR Hall of Fame and placed his first bet on guess who, Bubba Wallace, to win the Cup Series title this season. It was one of the many things he and Carla Gebhardt talked about after the event.
Fans have been waiting a long time for sports betting to be legalized in North Carolina. You have too. You kind of mentioned that you've been tweeting about it leading up to this day, but how exciting is this for sports here?
I think it's fun. I think anyone who lives here in the Carolinas just realizes this is a really passionate fan base. I mean, whether it's the college basketball going on right now, both women, men's and women's, and you know, obviously in the fall with the Panthers and the NFL just being as big of a deal as it is, it's really a, you know, and then you got NASCAR season, you got, you know, the NBA with the Hornets and the Hurricanes out in Raleigh. It's really a 12-month sports calendar for the folks of the Carolinas. So I think this is really exciting. I think anything that can be done in a responsible way that just improves that fan engagement, that fan experience of not only following their diehard team, but just following the leagues, following the different drivers, following whatever the case may be, I think is good for everyone. And I think DraftKings coming here and setting up their sports book in North Carolina and having guardrails in place and having regulation in place to make sure it's done in a responsible manner, but a fun manner. And I think that's their ultimate goal. And I think a lot of people have been excited about this for a long time. And here we are.
NASCAR mentioned on the stage earlier that this is going to get a lot of young fans involved. Why is that important, really, with NASCAR, but really with all of the sports that are going to be offering this?
Yeah, I think whether it's NASCAR or the NFL or NBA, I think every league is saying, listen, we want to grow our fan base. We want to grow not only in the number of fans, but we want them to be young. We want them to grow with us as we evolve and as we grow as a league or as a team. And obviously we want to engage with them, and the way, you know, young people engage now with everything's on their phone, everything's mobile, everything's social interaction, I think it fits very well into the model of what DraftKings Sportsbook, you know, brings to the table and their technology and the platform. So I think it kind of goes hand in hand, and I think these teams and leagues have really come around, real 180, especially since I came into the league, of understanding just how much good this can be for everybody when done the right way.
You placed your first bet on Bubba Wallace. Did you speak to Bubba before? Have you ever met him?
I've met okay. Bubba a handful of times, obviously knowing him from being around here in Charlotte. But I hope he feels a lot of pressure now. Like, yeah. I hope he's, like, right now in the gym grinding for what? Because I think my bet, I think the pressure that puts on him hopefully is the little bit to push him over the finish line, pun intended.
Yeah, I'm sure 2311 also appreciates that. Your former Panther, if you had to place a bet on the Panthers, like, what would be a safe first bet for them?
I want to see him get through for free agency. I'm curious. Okay. I know it starts up today with, like, that tampering or whatever the heck they call it now, which is kind of silly. But I'd like to see how the things go through free agency in the draft. But listen, I'm pulling for Dave. Dave Canales is a guy that I spent a year with in Seattle, and I really respect him. I appreciate his energy and his enthusiasm and his vision. I hope he does well. I hope he gets the team back to you know, just playing meaningful games again, right? Being packing that stadium, having excitement in the city. I think we all miss that, and hopefully, hopefully with this hire and his staff, we're heading in that direction.
Thanks to Greg for the time. The first big tournament of the season is a wrap at TPC Sawgrass this evening. We got the final round of the Players' Championship coming up next.
And it may not seem exciting, but it is certainly important considering what happened today. We talked to Cup Series drivers after the most recent tire test at North Wilkesboro Speedway. CSL is back in three.
Back on CSL, hitting the links, a gorgeous day down at TPC Sawgrass as it was Championship Sunday in the Players' Championship. The defending champ and world number one, Scotty Scheffler, here on the par 4 fourth. Great second shot approach here by Scheffler. It rolls in for an eagle. Look at that. That would move him to 14 under. Incredible shot there. Now on the par 4 18th. Scheffler in the lead at 20 under for the weekend. Xander Schauffele on his heels. One stroke back. The long putt to force a playoff is just a bit wide. Schauffele would settle for par on that final hole in a second-place finish for the weekend. Same hole. Now it's Wyndham Clark's turn to try and force a playoff with Scheffler. A 17-footer on the way. Looks to be money, but it lips out. Oh, Clark can't believe it. Got to run that one back for you. That's as close as it gets, folks. Oh, man, that is tough. Much like football, golf is also a game of inches. And while it was heartbreak for Clark, there was nothing but joy for the top golfer in the world. Scotty Scheffler wins the Players to become the first back-to-back champion in the tournament's history.
So I was hoping to be in this position. You know, yesterday, you know, I put up a good fight for 4 days. That's really all there was. You know, Teddy kept me in a good headspace out there. We had a great finish yesterday, and then got off to a slow start today, but then the hole out on four, you know, kind of propelled us a little bit. Yeah, it's pretty special. You know, that's something you don't really get the opportunity to do very often. You know, it's tough enough to win one Players, and so to have it back-to-back is extremely special, and yeah, we're really thankful.
A historic day for the 27-year-old and world number one. This is Scheffler's second win on the tour here in 2024.
Meanwhile, someone who is not Dale Jr. is stepping into the 88 car. Junior Motorsports is giving a debut for 17-year-old Connor Zilich. It'll be a four-race deal starting with the Watkins Glen course in September. If the name sounds familiar, Zilich was one of the winning drivers in this year's Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. A Mooresville, North Carolina native, this is the first, only NASCAR deal he has already. Connor is also signed to Trackhouse Racing, the developmental program. Well, earlier this week, NASCAR and Goodyear had the Truck Series out at North Wilkesboro Speedway to test tires in preparation for All-Star Weekend in May.
Yeah, the Cup Series also got a turn to learn more about the track since the repavement. Our Kevin Connolly has the full story for us tonight.
The return to racing at the North Wilkesboro Speedway for the 2023 NASCAR All-Star Race was such a success, NASCAR is doing it again in 2024, but with one significant change. The entire racing surface was ripped up and replaced, which is why this week's tire test was so important.
The two-day tire test featured one driver from each manufacturer. Ty Gibbs from Toyota, Joey Logano in his Ford, and William Byron for Chevy. We are all familiar with the phrase, where the rubber meets the road. Well, this test is that phrase in action.
Obviously, anytime there's a repave, wherever the cars are running is going to be the fast lane, and when you get out of that, it's going to be ice. Until you get cars running too wide out there and you get the races going here, I expect it to widen out a little bit and help that part of it.
Providing feedback is the main responsibility for the drivers during a test. They need to explain what they are feeling with the tires to go along with the data that the engineers are gathering through their sensors and computers.
You know, it just feels very on edge to start, you know, if you get out of the groove for sure, and just if you slip a tire. And then as we started laying rubber down, all that stuff got a little bit better.
So what impact will the test have on the racing? Tough to say when there are only three cars on the track instead of a full field.
It's just going to make the restarts and the way that's going to last longer double file, right? Because last year we're just locked into that one groove and we kind of saw that, unless you had tires on and then could make it happen. But This should definitely make it more of a two-wide show for a little bit longer.
Drivers went through about a dozen different compounds and combinations, all with the goal of trying to find the perfect one that will produce the best racing when they return in May for the 2024 All-Star Race. Reporting at North Wilkesboro, I'm Kevin Conley, Queen City News.
Appreciate you, Kevin. Coming up on CSL, we're taking flight with Kenny the Jet Smith. We go one-on-one with the two-time NBA champ and former Tar Heel to talk all things betting and hoops with March Madness getting underway this week.
And a handful of our local high school teams can now call themselves state champions. We're going to recap all the action from Winston-Salem over the last 2 days next. After playing in Raleigh and Chapel Hill last season, North Carolina's basketball state championships moved to Winston-Salem this year. And Gabe, I'll tell you what, our area was well represented.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. We had five squads fighting for state titles over the past few days, and a handful of those teams were able to finish the season on the mountaintop. In the state's highest class, North Mech returned to glory by winning the Class 4A state final. Led by the man in the middle right there, future Blue Devil Isaiah Evans, the Vikings were able to take down unbeaten powerhouse New Hanover 57-47 to claim the state championship. Evans dropped 23 points while hitting four threes in the win. However, fellow senior Chatlin Traylor was an unsung hero, finishing with 15 points while shooting 6 of 7 from the field. The Vikings, this is now 3 state titles all time as they cap off their dream season with a 30-3 overall record.
It's great, and this, you know, knowing what went on, you know, with COVID, nothing you can control, but to get back here, but you know, we have our saying, Viking for life.
Going to a private school across the world and winning a meaningless game doesn't really do anything for you. It doesn't fulfill you, in my opinion. Like, this is fulfilling. You know, we put in real hours and time and sweat and blood for this.
I'm just grateful to be able to go out there and get another state championship. I just feel like I'm always prepared for moments like this. And being with these guys just made it even better.
North Mech's first championship since splitting the title in 2020 due to COVID. The Vikings finished 2024 on a 17-game win streak.
Also on Friday night, Central Cabarrus was able to make it 2 in a row. The Vikings with no trouble against the 71st. They defeated the Falcons 90-62 to cap off yet another undefeated season. Jim Baker's squad is a combined 95-1 over the past 3 years, with their last loss coming in the 2022 4A West Final to West Charlotte. Well, the Vikings have a handful of stars. Baker says it was his role players who truly helped this team remain on top.
I thought we were going to be pretty good, but my role players, Amari number 12, my son Jake Baker, Noah Edmund's son, Caden Smith, they figured out how to play. And when they figured out, and then with the big four out there, it was just seamless. We've been here before. The neat thing about it, and I simplify everything. We're going to run our simplest stuff, and we're just going to outplay them. And boy, it came through. They were awesome tonight.
Excellent job. The Vikings' 65-game win streak since the beginning of last season is currently the longest in the entire country.
And also on Friday, we had a local squad take home the Class 3A girls title. West Rowan completed another dominant season on top as they took down Terry Sanford to win the state championship. This marks West Rowan's second straight state title after they ran the table and won it all in 2023. Despite never leading until late in the third quarter on Friday, the Lady Falcons hung tough and were dominant on the boards, which was a key factor in the win. West Rowan head coach Ashley Poole says this win came down to one thing.
That's experience. I told these girls going in, they've been here before. It's all about experience. When it comes down to it, that's going to win the game. And that's what they did. No doubt. That's Mount Lola right there. They traveled with us for the last 2 years. It's the best fan base in the world.
Quite a finish for a Lady Falcon senior class that went 62-1 with a pair of rings over the past 2 seasons.
Earlier on Saturday, the Charlotte Catholic girls made their first ever state final appearance after falling in the regional final in back-to-back years. Cougars, though, would end up falling to Roseville, who won its first state title in school history. The loss for Catholic truly marked the end of an era. Head coach Bobby Conrad is set to retire, and the team is losing senior Blanca Thomas, who's off to North Carolina after a prolific high school career.
And to start off the weekend, we had one of the newest schools in our area have a chance to win a title. Corvian Community High School has only been around since 2010, and they've only been NCHSA members for the past 4 seasons. After having a late lead, the Cardinals would ultimately come up short against Wilson Prep as they fell in the title game 65-63. Still a great season for the young squad as they finished 27-4. The best news, the Cardinals are only losing one senior out of next year.
Mobile sports betting started in North Carolina on Monday. And no, we were just talking about this. You can't bet on high school sports.
Yeah, but you can bet on college, of course, and especially with the NCAA tournament just days away. Earlier this week, I caught up with NBA and Tar Heel great Kenny the Jet Smith to talk betting on the teams here in North Carolina. Well, joining us now is a man who needs very little introduction, Kenny the Jet Smith, two-time NBA champ turned analyst and former Tar Heel. Kenny, how are things going today, my man?
Everything's going well, man. How are you today?
Doing well, doing well. It is an exciting time for sports fans here in the Tar Heel State, the launch of mobile sports betting. How much is this really going to change the landscape, especially with it being tournament time here in college hoops?
Well, you know, the first thing is, you know, myself, FanDuel, the first thing is, you know, gaming responsibly is the most important thing. It should be something that makes your day. It shouldn't kill your day.
Of course, you guys at FanDuel have the partnership with the Carolina Panthers here in town. How significant will that be for fans as we get closer to the upcoming season this fall?
Well, you know, most fans, you know, that are in the gaming thought process, you know, they've been to Vegas, they've been to Atlantic City, they've been all over the world, and they've been in other states. This is the 22nd state now that has, you know, the ability to, you know, to wager online. So it's nothing unique. In that sense, it's just great that now the Tar Heel State is part of that process. People should have a lot of fun. And go Heels.
Of course, you are a Tar Heel through and through. Quite a turnaround this year after not making the tournament last year. What do you think led to the strong season this year as you now get closer to tournament time?
I just think continuity. I think they had the talent last year. Just the continuity was a little bit off after making the Final Four the year before, final game, actually. You know, sometimes, you know, it takes a retool, a restep mentally, not even in terms of personnel, but mentally. Coach Hubert Davis done an extremely great job of getting the players involved and getting them ready to be really competitive and make a run at the national championship.
And outside of Carolina, if you had to put your betting hat cap on for a little bit, who is one of your favorites to win it all outside of the Tar Heels? And who would you consider to maybe be a Cinderella this year?
Well, you know, UConn, Arizona, and actually those guys in Cameron still have a great chance to make a deep, deep run. Cinderella's probably going to, you know, kind of show itself this week with the conference tournaments. There are a lot of teams that are now, like, peaking.
And the NBA season, of course, in full swing. Another tough year for the Hornets, but they have some solid pieces to build around. You have guys like LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller. Now this time of year, you have new ownership and new blood in the front office. How do you think they turn things around here in Charlotte with the Hornets?
Health. You know, I think, you know, you have a top five point guard in LaMelo Ball. So anytime that he's healthy, he makes everyone else better. And can he stay healthy is going to be the key to their future, not even to their seasons.
And Brandon Miller having a great rookie season, one of those guys. Some even question if Charlotte should even take him with that second pick in last year's draft. What has impressed you the most so far about his game? And does he remind you of maybe anybody you played against or have seen over the course of your career?
I mean, he's a new age 2-3. Like, you know, he said that Paul George was his GOAT. You could see the similarities that he tries to play put in his game. So I think that would be a comparison. But for me, I think, people who hadn't seen him, in college, he was there 1 year. So it's hard to make an assessment. Those people who were not defending him just hadn't seen him, really.
Kenny the Jet Smith, appreciate the time. Enjoy March Madness, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Always good to have the Jet on CSL. And still to come, one up-and-coming coach from the Queen City is getting a big opportunity. It's one that'll take him from the mountains to the coast. That's coming up next.
And a Fort Monroe High School student will head to college with an unexpected gift that also honors the past. See that story and more coming up here on CSL.
Back on CSL, this past week marked the beginning of a new era for the Coastal Carolina basketball team. The Shots officially introduced Justin Gray as the 7th head coach in program history on Thursday. Gray is a Charlotte native and spent the previous 3 seasons as the head man at Western Carolina. He's taking over for coaching legend Cliff Ellis and will look to get the Coastal program back on track after a 9-win season this year. Gray says fans should expect a completely different brand of ball with him at the helm as he aims to build a winner in Conway.
The energy that we bring, the discipline that we'll create, the greediness we'll play with, those things will equal the excellence. I think the right kind of kids will be attracted to that because we know how special of a place it is. And I'm looking forward to learning about that so I know exactly what I'm being able to sell when I go out and talk to these student athletes.
During Gray's 3-year stint at Western Carolina, he became the first coach to lead the team to back-to-back winning seasons in 13 years. And sticking with the theme of new head coaches, a new face is calling the plays for Rock Hill High School football, Mike.
Yeah, former Gaffney defensive coordinator Randy Burch is taking over the gig in Football City, USA. He replaces Bubba Pittman, who stepped down after 10 seasons leading the Bearcats. Pittman's teams went 38-67 during that time, winning a regional title in 2018. Burch heads to Rock Hill from Gaffney, where he's been an assistant since 2013. He helped the Indians win the 2021 5A state championship and wants to get the Bobcats on that level ASAP.
The main message that I gave to the players today is the number one goal I got as far as the football aspect of this goes is get the best 11 players on the field, line up right, and play fast. I think if you that combination right there is kind of the formula for success as far as the on-the-field part. So let's just find our best 11 in each phase of the game, offense, defense, special teams. We're going to get them lined up right, get them lined up sound. We're going to eliminate senseless penalties, and we're going to turn them loose and keep it simple, let them fly around.
The work begins now. South Carolina high schools can start spring practice this month. A former high school baseball student is creating a legacy on and off the field.
Yeah, senior Thomas Ely got a big surprise at practice this past Thursday when he was told he is the very first recipient of the Eddie G.G. Burden Scholarship. Queen City News reporter Savannah Rudisell has the story.
Thomas Ely's confidence at the plate and speed in the outfield earned him a spot on Virginia State's roster, but his love for the game earned him a scholarship.
Caught me off guard a little bit. I wasn't ready for this.
Ely and one other soon-to-be-announced athlete will receive $1,000 to continue playing baseball or softball at a historically black college or university.
I just felt like it could help me out financially going to college, and it would just be a big step in my life.
Part of the application required players to write about the lessons they personally take away from the history of the Negro Leagues.
During the summer, the Carolina Metro Reds took me down to the Jackie Robinson Training Complex for the MLB Breakthrough Series, and I learned a lot there. There's a little information about Jackie Robinson and like the Negro Leagues, and that kind of helped me insight.
The Charlotte Knights sponsored the funds in the name of Eddie G.G. Burton. Burton played for the Harrisburg Giants, just 16 years old when he first joined the Negro Leagues. He and his wife, Gail, helped the Knights establish their own Negro Leagues Night celebration after living in Charlotte for years.
He was really into bettering the community, and he had a passion for making sure that our kids were treated right, making sure that they have opportunities.
Eddie passed away in 2018. Gail started the scholarship in his name, not only to keep her husband's memory alive, but the entire legacy of the Negro Leagues.
I'm very, very excited about what this one thing can do to help our community, and it's all about our future.
Ely's parents say they are incredibly proud of their son, and honored the Knights also see he's a perfect candidate for the scholarship.
When he first started, he didn't want to play, and he didn't really love it, and then a friend of his played, and he does now, and I just think it's taught him so much about teamwork, about perseverance. Sometimes he was the smallest kid on the team, but he worked extra hard, to play as well as everyone else, so I think there's just a lot of skills that he learned from the team and being a part of baseball. And we're so glad he had the opportunity to be able to do that.
Thanks to Savannah for that story. And we can't put it off any longer. Up next on CSL, at last, our final four picks. Will Mike and I agree on the teams going to Phoenix? And will any of them be from the Carolinas? Find out next here on CSL.
Well, in case you missed the start of our show, I'm really sorry for you. We had a great time discussing the final four. We're going to do it one more time here, breaking it down. This is your final four game, yeah. McDonald. Break it down for us.
Yeah, so we got UConn coming out of the East, the top overall seed. I think they're going to turn it on this time of year and keep the momentum going. Obviously, UNC from right here in the Carolinas coming out the West. South can be Houston. I think they're going to bounce back from losing in the conference tournament game. So all 3-1 seeds, but in the Midwest, I like Tennessee, the Vols, to get it done, make it to the final four. And in my championship game, two heavyweights, Houston, Kelvin Sampson, Cooper Davis in North Carolina. I like UNC to come out on top.
You
and
really
get
like
it done.
UNC after the way they played against NC State.
I like RJ Davis, Armando Bacot, guys that have come up big like Cormac Ryan, Harrison Ingram. I think those are the guys that are really going to turn it on and help their two stars. I think they get over the hump and have a really big turnaround. Last year was a letdown, not getting into the tournament. I like Carolina to win it all this year.
Now,
Mike, who you got?
I know we have not seen a repeat champion in college basketball for a long time. I don't think it's going to happen again this year, but I do think UConn's going to come close. I think they're going to run through the East, a very, very difficult East, make it to the championship game. Baylor, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people. They play some great defense. They're a three seed. I think they're going to stun some people. As I do think Tennessee, this is a team that has never made it to the Final Four. I think they've got the tools and the talent to do it this year. However, I don't think anybody is on the level of the Houston Cougars.
Okay.
Stunning defense, breathtaking defense. I think they can hit the big shots. I think this is a school that has never won a championship. I think this is the year they finally do it.
So make sure y'all take screenshots of those brackets. We'll see y'all in a few weeks.
Gabe, we do have one more thing to do. We did not forget QC Crowns.
Yeah, mine is going out to the school off Exit 81 up in North Louisiana. Shout out to the G-Men of Grambling State University. The Tigers making their first trip to the Big Dance in school history after taking down Texas Southern in the SWAC title game last night. This was the scene of their watch party on campus. They will be in the first four against Montana State coming up on Wednesday. And if they take care of business, they'll move on to face Purdue in the first round on Friday. Mike, who you got?
All right, we're going to the big leagues here. It's not as good as the famous junior skyhook, but I got to give my crown to Kyrie Irving.
Man.
Right out of the pages of Magic Johnson's game winner against the Celtics back in 87. The hook shot day to help the Mavs beat the Nuggets. Gabe, I want to see you try that Tuesday.
Hey, I'm going to get out. I'm going to. For Mike, I'm Gabe. We'll do it again tomorrow night, guys. Good night.